really try and pursue your interests, because as much as something might sound great on paper, doesn't mean you'll actually A, thrive there, or B, want to do this long term.
Welcome to The Wired Wick, demystifying tech law trends and educating about law in tomorrow's society. Hello, and welcome back to The Wired Wick. My name is Annabelle Pemberton, and this week's episode is with Elisabetta Ludboza, who was, at the time of recording, legal trainee at eBay. Beth is now junior legal officer at the Luxembourg office of eBay, and in this week's episode, we discuss some of the differences between working as part of in-house counsel, as part of a business, in comparison to working at a law firm. Beth also gives some insights and resources about how to acquire the skills to really be part of legal counsel and give some insights on the profession itself. Enjoy the podcast.
Hi, Beth. Thank you for coming on to The Wired Wick today.
Hi, Annabelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So let's get into the interview. So how did you start to work at eBay?
That's a great question. And truth be told, it was a bit of a happy accident, if I'm being completely honest. I knew that I wanted to take a break, so to speak, from academia after completing my Bachelor of Laws in England. That's where we study together at the University of Warwick. And due to personal factors, I wanted to move back to Luxembourg to kickstart my postgraduate career. I kept quite an open mind regarding the type of positions that I was applying for, but what was in common with most of them was that my legal education and background would have been quite an advantage. I was interviewed by a recruitment agency last August 2019, and it was only then during the interview that they revealed to me that it was a position for within eBay. The position I was interviewed for and ultimately offered a position for was within the compliance operations quality assurance team as an analyst. Wow, that was a bit of a mouthful, wasn't it? And I gladly accepted, as it was a company that I was very familiar with, you know, growing up, and compliance is quite a hot area, especially within Luxembourg. And yeah, I've been working at eBay since October 2019, but I have since moved to the AML team, which is where I'm currently a legal trainee at. Perhaps it's a bit of a misnomer. I didn't really know what the position title would be called, but I guess that's the most aptly named one, the most similar one to what I do on a day-to-day basis.
And what do you do on a day-to-day basis at eBay?
I work within the legal function of the business in the AML team, and my role entails working with different stakeholders and teammates globally to ensure that the payments entity of eBay Luxembourg is in compliance with various applicable laws and regulations. So I mostly work with anti-money laundering laws and regulations and any laws applicable to eBay as a payments institution, as defined by the Payment Services Directive.
Yes, and that's really interesting to hear, because you'd expect working just for one business that you're only really dealing with a limited amount of laws. It really keeps it interesting.
For sure, for sure. And I quite like the fact that there's a variety in the work that I do. I've spoken to some mentors in the past who've advised me to not go too niche too soon in my career. And I think it's very important to stay open-minded. So the fact that I'm able to explore these different areas of law, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Yes, I can definitely relate to that. It sounds like such a great opportunity to learn and just grow your experience. So what do you see as the main differences between working in a business and a law firm?
Another great question. So I should note here that my experience of working at a law firm is quite limited. However, I have worked at EU institutions, a community legal center, and various shorter-term work experiences within top international law firms. So in terms of culture, I think working at a tech company, I can definitely confirm that it's not as hierarchical. People are very, very approachable. I mean, again, on a daily basis, I have meetings with top directors, senior counsel. I've never felt that I'm not welcome to approach them or ask them for a quick and formal one-to-one. That's something I really enjoy. And in terms of culture, everyone's so friendly. This is not to say that, you know, people working at law firms are not, but they're very willing to just take time out of their day, have a coffee with you, catch up. We're very international and diverse. In our office here in Luxembourg, for example, we're just about 35 employees. And I think somebody mentioned there's 18 nationalities. So we come from a very different, we come from different cultures, different countries, different backgrounds. And it's, yeah, it's really nice to be able to work alongside people from different walks of life, different backgrounds. There's a lot of people coming from the Big Four. Globally, the people I work with, a lot of them were previously lawyers at these top international law firms and have decided to later on in their careers go in-house at eBay. And yeah, on the topic of culture, again, something huge that I've noticed and that I really appreciate is the attire. Yeah, it's quite nice being able to come into the office and not have to rock a suit. I remember on my very first day of working at eBay, I walked in. I was like, okay, well, I know it's a tech company, but I want to make a great impression. I walked in with my loafers, my little suit, white blouse, and I was very... I was not dressed appropriately for the environment, I would say.
Yes, on my first day when I went into the company, I didn't realize how chill the attire was. And it was just a shock for me at first, but I'm very used to it now.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think it's great and it speaks volumes that you're able to, you know, carry across important messages during meetings and so on without, you know, having to dress up in a suit. You're able to do it in a jeans and a casual t-shirt, right? Mm-hmm. And people still take you seriously. And yeah, that's a great thing. I really enjoyed that. In terms of flexibility, I think it's a really great place to work at because you have flexible working hours. You're also able to work from home. That's something that we were already able to do previously to the coronavirus pandemic. So in that way, we were quite well adjusted once everybody did have to, you know, go into lockdown and work from home. Yeah. There wasn't too much of a business impact, but yeah. And in terms of being a parent and working at eBay, I know that many of my colleagues constantly say how great it is that they're able to adjust their schedule so that they can still pick up their children, make it back in time with meetings, especially if it's with the US, you know, given the time zones, they're still able to take them from home. And I think that is significantly harder to do at a traditional law firm.
You can be at home and be with your family.
Yeah, exactly. Be there for the important times in your life, right? Any important events, in my experience, they've been very, very forthcoming and happy to.
Out of interest, do you have the billable hour?
No, I do not have the billable hour.
I think it's really interesting to have the different mindset approach.
Mm-hmm.
We always do our work based on the value we deliver through the work rather mm-hmm. than how many hours we're spending. And for me, it just works so much better. I don't end up overworking or underworking. It just works in that way.
Exactly. No, exactly. I completely agree with you. So yeah, I'd say those are the biggest differences between working in legal in a business, in a company such as eBay and in a traditional law firm.
And have you started any initiatives?
So I wouldn't say I've started any initiatives myself. However, I am an active member of a community led by women and men at eBay to advance gender diversity and inclusion. And that's called Women at eBay. And I'm actually fortunate enough to have been asked to be the Luxembourg site coordinator for the Women at eBay program. And there's a program called the Rise Up, Lift Up program. And it's a well-structured training program with elements of career development, networking, personalized support. And it's something that I'm very passionate about. And yeah, I really like it. I really like it that even in my short amount of time at the company, I'm able to get involved. It's really great. It's really great.
Yes, absolutely. And to be trusted and have that responsibility in that position.
For sure. I really appreciate it, being able to get involved with initiatives such as this. I'm also involved in the initiative to increase eBay's visibility locally within Luxembourg. And I've really enjoyed that challenge as well and the responsibility I've been given there. So yeah, it's really great. I'm very happy to be here.
So besides studying and practicing law, Beth also has a strong personal brand online. So Beth, how has this experience been useful for you in your legal role in a business?
First of all, thank you so much for saying that. That means a lot. I'd say I have a strong personal brand online, professionally speaking, via LinkedIn. I think it's so important, especially if you're a young professional actively looking for job positions, and especially in the current market, it's important to get your name out there. And please don't be one of these people. I used to do this, so I'm guilty of this. But my advice with LinkedIn would be, do not just send out connections to anybody randomly in the legal industry that you think, oh yeah, well, this will really boost my the algorithm and my profile. Yes. Within LinkedIn. Actively look for people who have roles that you're interested in. Reach out to them, connect with them, ask for advice, either that be right now, you know, a virtual little 15-minute catch-up coffee call. And most people are very forthcoming to share their experience and help you get ahead. I think for me, it's been really, really great in networking. So even just through following certain groups online, I found out about the Bucerius Legal Tech Essentials Summer School, which I highly recommend to all listeners of the Wired Wig podcast. It's a 6-week course, completely free. It's conducted virtually due to the current climate. And they have a host of speakers and panelists talk about legal tech advancements, legal tech in Silicon Valley. I could not recommend it enough. And they also have a LinkedIn group for all the attendees and participants to network and get to know each other. Through LinkedIn also, I've found out about The Network, which is a professional networking group based in Luxembourg for women in business. And that has been a really great way to connect with other professionals outside of the legal industry, outside of tech, as well as also connect with LILA, that's the abbreviation, but it's Ladies in Law Luxembourg Association. Great. And through these groups, you're really able to hear firsthand from lawyers from positions that you might aspire to have one day about how they got there, what is their advice for somebody new to the profession or very interested in the profession. And it can only enhance your professional development, I think. So thanks again for saying it was a strong personal brand online. I do think it is closely linked to the fact that I've been blogging since a very young age. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I kind of took a bit of a hiatus, it's a bit of a break for me right now with my current role, but I still remain quite active online. That's always been an interest of mine. And I think it really intertwines with why I'm passionate about working within legal at a tech company, right? So
yes, absolutely. And the fact that you have your own website and you built that yourself and the skills you need to learn around SEO, for example.
Yeah, advertising. Yeah.
It requires you to learn a bit about how to talk to people online in a certain way and how to communicate and get yourself out there. So I think they're very useful skills for any business. And the other thing about working in legal in a business is that you do need to understand the business implications of what you're actually doing the documents for. So I think it does stand you in good stead.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
So this is a bit of a wild card question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Creativity and entrepreneurship are overlooked skills in law.
Would I say that creativity and entrepreneurship is overlooked in law? I would actually argue that now more and more employers are really valuing candidates with entrepreneurship and creativity skills. They don't want somebody who's just about, you know, academia, who is a top law school graduate, only got firsts or A's or whatever, 10s, 100 percentages, whatever is the top of the grading rubric. I do think that it is important to have passions outside of the law. It's great if, you know, as in your case, they intertwine very heavily with your day-to-day job, such as this legal tech podcast, which I still commend you for. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed all the episodes. So just like a little thank you for doing what you do, Annabelle. But I do think now more and more, I personally have experienced that a lot of interviews ask me about my interests outside of my CV, outside of my education. At the end of the day, you will most likely be working long hours with your colleagues. They want to know that they will get on with you, that you don't necessarily even have to have something in common. But as long as you have that drive and ambition, and if you can showcase that and your entrepreneurship skills, I do think they will be noticed and it will make you stand out, especially now when there are fewer openings and more prospective candidates for these positions, right? I think I would argue maybe it's somewhat optimistic that they're becoming less overlooked and more sought after.
Yes, no, I would like to think it's that way.
Would you agree? Do you think the same, or do you think perhaps they're still being overlooked? I'd love to hear your opinion as well. I'm throwing the wild card right back at you.
It's interesting because at least when we started studying law, I feel it was always, it won't be accessible to you if you don't have the grades. And I think that that still applies, that if you want to work in law, you do need to have fairly good grades to get in just because of how the screening works. Mm-hmm. But beyond that point, maybe I'm too optimistic too, but I'd like to think that all those other skills that you do put into your application, they are viewed, and that's how they determine a person who's fitted for one firm in comparison to another. And I've had this experience when I was applying for a mini pupillage. I found out that this one chambers, they had a lot of people who were really into music, and I'm a musician as well. So I said that I play the saxophone and I play the flute. And then I got the mini pupillage, and it could have been a coincidence and it could have just been purely on my grades. But when I got there, I really clicked with everyone. So I was very glad that I did mention my other interests as well. But I wanted to ask, because I feel that people feel lawyers are quite fixed in their mind in terms of they just follow rules, and they can't really bend on the solution. And then whereas entrepreneurship, it's more, okay, this is the problem, but we have all these paths there. Which one is the best? Mm-hmm. It's really interesting now to see design thinking in law and making solutions more people-centric and actually designed for society. So it's great to hear at eBay that they have schemes and the way you work is more suited for people actually working there, rather than just dogmatic saying you work 9 to 5, you have to clock in these hours. It's actually just flexible to how we are as humans, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I do think that a good lawyer is one not that just knows the law off by heart and is quite rigid in their thinking, like you mentioned, but instead truly finds the best solution for their clients, right? And I think that's what really excites me about this area that I'm currently working in tech, is that it's developing so quickly that you have to keep up. You know, you don't know what's going to come next year.
Okay. And what advice would you give to current law students who want to explore other options outside working in a law firm?
Oh, what a strong question to end on. My advice would be to truly just stay open-minded. Some great piece of advice I received from a mentor of mine was to not become too specialized and too niche too early on, because it might have quite big implications for your career later on. So stay open-minded, apply to positions, keeping an open mind, really try and pursue your interests, because as much as something might sound great on paper, doesn't mean you'll actually A, thrive there, or B, want to do this long-term, right? Stay open-minded. Once you have the job offers, which you will, you can then make some decisions, some of those harder decisions about, okay, what should I pursue now? But especially for fresh graduates, it's important to stay agile, stay flexible. Very important to adapt to change. And yeah, I mean, I personally didn't know I was going to be working for a tech company post-graduation, but I'm very, very happy with how things have unfolded. I've really enjoyed it, and I'm excited to see where it takes me.
That's fantastic, and I completely resonate with that as well, because the way I started working in this startup was through consultancy, and then they just needed someone in data protection law, so I just transferred.
Yeah.
But I think what you said about not specializing too early is very important right now, because there's so many buzzwords around legal tech and technology and the law. And that's great for this podcast, but it's also important that you do get a basic toolkit of how the law works before actually trying to specialize and actually really finding what is your passion as well, because there's so many different types of law out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, who knows? I might not stay in this area of law forever either, right? We're both, you know, very fresh to the scene, so to say.
Well, Beth, it was really nice to talk to you today. Thank you for coming on to the episode. And if people want to contact you with any questions about your role or any advice as law students, how could they reach you?
Sure. So first of all, thanks again for having me on. It's truly such an honor. If people would like to contact me, feel free to reach out on my LinkedIn. It's just Elizabeth Woodborza. I'm sure Annabelle will put it in the show notes. Or I've had people even reach out through my Instagram. So don't be shy. I'm always happy to help. And that's at Elizabeth Hell.
My friends
make fun of it. Yeah, they're like, it sounds like it's Beetle. Yeah. Thank you so much again.
I'm Annabelle Pemberton, and you have just listened to the Wired Wig podcast, available on Spotify, iTunes, and Apple Podcasts. As always, if you liked what you just heard, be sure to follow this account on Spotify and follow the Wired Wig on Instagram for the latest tech law news and updates.